Good morning. Anybody like springing forward an hour? Gosh, I want that hour back. This sermon will be a lot better in about an hour. I didn't say good, I didn't say great, but it would be better in about an hour. This is way too early. Oh my goodness. All right, let's try to do this. The idol of entertainment. I'm assuming no one struggles with entertainment at all. No one plays on Facebook or sits on the computer or watches TV for hours on end or rents movies or goes to the movies or sits on a Kindle or an iPad and plays games or, you know, that sort of thing. I'm probably the only one, so I'm probably just preaching to myself, but bear with me as I go through this. As I was preparing this, I was thinking to myself about my family, about my choices, about my decisions. I thought about back when I first became a Christian and how, you know, you're kind of on fire and you want to make changes and you're doing different things and you make commitments and your life starts to look a lot different pretty quickly. Sometimes that doesn't stick or stay. And that's kind of what I thought about as I was working on this was, how do I look today compared to how maybe I looked 10 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, and what the progression's been like? Because I think there's times when we can get kind of lazy. We kind of let our guard down. We just kind of fit in and blend in. We just become part of whatever's going on. And rather than being set apart, being a chosen people, a royal priesthood, being that, followers of him, we kind of just become just another person walking through the world, following it, chasing after it, absorbing it, consumed by it, entertained by all of it, and yet not different at all. You know, we live in a world where the end times are a big deal. People want to try to make a big deal out of the storms that are going on or the plagues or this or that or the other thing, you know, this hurricane here, this earthquake there, the weather changes, all this stuff's supposed to mean something. I really don't know what that stuff means. That's God's business. He says it's not up to us to figure out that stuff out. But I think what's interesting when I look at Paul talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy, I think what's interesting to me is that he talks about all the dangerous times that would come and all the stuff that would happen. He doesn't talk about wars with nations. He doesn't talk about physical diseases or plagues or epidemics. He doesn't talk about floods and natural disasters and all those types of things that you and I might consider. But what he does list is this list of a number of traits and characteristics that would epitomize the world in the last days. And this is what he says to Timothy. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good. Not lovers of the good. I'm not sure which version I'm reading out of here that I printed out, but not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Remember that, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form, verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Have nothing to do with them. That's what Paul writes to Timothy about what it'll look like in the last days. Not about the storms, not about the weather, not about the natural disasters. It's about a character traits, and a behavior that people will be taking on and acting out. And this is what I thought about when I thought about our entertainment industry and what it looks like today. And I'm as guilty as the next guy. So as I work through this message, I don't want you to think that I'm preaching to you about what you watch or what you read or what you... This is to me... I needed to hear this, and I need to work on this. This is a prayer request for me. And if something happens to click with you, that's great, but I don't want you to take this wrong. I just want you to hear me out, and then you decide for yourself if this fits you, if this is something that you need to address or not. But what Paul is basically saying here in this passage of Scripture to Timothy, he's saying that there will be a religious people, but they will be without righteousness. And you got to soak that in and think about that, and you got to think about our culture, as Christians, our culture. We're religious, but are we righteous? Are we set apart? Are we different? Do we do things differently? Do we abstain from things that others might partake in? There will be people who will be religious without being righteous. They will have principles, but without purity. And the danger of these things are both the possibilities and the probabilities, Paul says. There was and there is no doubt that they would and they do exist. But the bigger danger, why Paul's talking to Timothy about this, is it would happen in the confines of the church. It would happen in the confines of professed Christians. You could look at that and say, well, that's about those, you know, those hoodlums that I live next to. No, this is how Christians would be. And if you think about what we participate in, what we say no to, what we just go ahead and let happen, we have this form of godliness, yet we deny its power. We're not set apart. Today it seems that everything is legal, right? Everything is legal, and if it's not legal, then it's okay, right? And if it's not okay, then it's excusable. And if it's not excusable, then it's explainable. If it's not explainable, then it's justifiable. You could go on and on and on and on and on, right? That's the way we live. That's the world that we have. Nothing is sacred anymore. Everything has been secularized to the point where even the church has a hard time determining where the boundaries are for our beliefs. Like I said, this is for me, probably more than you, so bear with me. But I got to thinking, gosh, how much does this look like me? How much does this sound like me? Because I think if we're not careful, we can find ourselves as Christians not just partaking in, but perhaps even advocating practices that not just promote the enemy's work, but go against God's agenda. We have to remember that every issue is a spiritual issue. I don't know if you believe that. I believe that. Every issue is a spiritual issue. Every issue is addressed in the Bible. There's nothing new to man that we struggle with. It just comes in a different form, maybe, whatever, but it's still the same issue. Everything we do either promotes godliness and righteousness, or it promotes worldliness and unrighteousness. Everything we do promotes one or the other. It can't promote both. So we ask ourselves, what's our entertainment viewing? What's our entertainment activity? What does it promote? The righteousness and godliness, or the worldliness and the ungodliness? In the American culture especially, the entertainment industry is probably one of the biggest weapons the world has against Christians, whether we want to face that or not. I mean, if you've watched any TV, went out to the movie theater, watched any movies, got on the computer and did any surfing and searching around and goofing off and playing games, you would see the power and the influence that media and entertainment has. Now, I know that some of you feel like it's no one's business to tell you what to read or what to watch, or, you know, what to do with your entertainment time, and that's fine. I just want you to see what God's Word has to say about it, and then you determine what might need to be altered. But I'd ask you, as we look at this passage in Timothy and as we use it perhaps as a guide to the books that we read or the shows that we watch or the movies that we go to, perhaps if we used it for a guide and said, you know what, if something I'm reading or watching has more than half of these characteristics or traits in it, maybe I should abstain from it. Maybe I shouldn't do it as often. Maybe I shouldn't do it at all. A lot of questions today I'm going to ask, but you're going to have to answer them ultimately for yourself. Let me mention a few things, if I may, that the industry, entertainment industry, my humble opinion, my personal opinion, and you don't have to agree, is doing to us as a family, doing to us as a culture, if we're not careful, and if we're not on top of it and aware of it. What is the present condition doing to us? The first thing is this: it's polluting our children. It pollutes our children. I sit and think about how, you know, we might be in the kitchen making dinner together, or we might be, you know, doing this out in the yard, and we like it when our kids are entertained at the TV. We like it when our kids are entertained at the computer. We like it when that's what's babysitting them rather than us, because it's easier, right? But what are we actually saying, and what are we actually doing? What are we actually subjecting them to when we do that? When we set them in front of the computer or the TV or their Kindle, or their iPad, or their cell phone, and we let that babysit them, and we let that direct them and guide them and teach them and influence them, well, we're busy, well, we're relaxing, well, we're trying to get a moment of peace. I'm guilty of that a lot. But what struck me as weird is, well, we're in the kitchen, or well, we're doing this or doing that. We do all these things to protect our kids, right? I was watching Kelly the other day, and, you know, the things that we'll go through to wash the fruit and the vegetables, you know, to make sure they don't get sick, to make sure everything's cooked right, to make sure the meat is completely done, right? All for the health of your family, to make sure they don't get sick. We'll watch where our kids go, who they hang out with, what they're up to. You know, we don't want them to be with the wrong crowd, right? Because it might influence them. We worry about all these things, and yet we set them in front of an instrument that does not have their best interest in mind. And it pollutes them more than any of the food, causes more damage potentially than any of the dirty fruit you might have served your kid or the uncooked meat. But there's some things we'll focus on, and then there's some things it seems that we'll just let go or we'll just overlook, and I don't know why that is. And I thought to myself, that doesn't make any sense. Why would I allow my children to potentially... And this isn't to say you can't do any TV, any movies, you can't read any books. This isn't what this sermon's about. This sermon is about just us analyzing ourselves and saying, is this an idol for me? Is this such a big deal to me that perhaps I'm overlooking the negatives and the drawbacks and the effects that it's having on my life or perhaps my family's life? Because don't kid yourselves. I have seen couples sit in my office arguing and ready to divorce over her Facebook time and her Pinterest time and her this time. And I have seen couples sit in my office over his time on Worlds of Warcraft or Halo 3. I have seen that. I have seen those things of entertainment consume people in such a way that it costs them more than they ever thought it was going to cost them. So I think we're ignorant to say that the media or entertainment doesn't affect us in any capacity. I think that, in fact, it does. The question is, how far are we going to go in acknowledging the impact or the influence that it has? And what are we going to do about that if we do recognize it? As I started to do this week, as I self-analyzed, what am I going to do about that? Is it merely entertainment we have to ask ourselves, or is it really entrapment? Ponder that, because we're going to look at that a little further, and in a little bit we're going to look at that a little deeper. But is it entertainment or is it entrapment? The second thing this does is this: it warps our morals, or you could say it warps our minds if you'd like. J. Oswald Sanders wrote this: the mind is a battleground upon which every moral and spiritual battle is fought. The mind is a battleground. Every moral, spiritual battle is fought. So that begs the question, do you think that the programs that you watch affect your beliefs? Do you think that the programs you allow your children or grandchildren to watch affect their beliefs? You have to answer that. Do you think they do? I think they do. I think we're affecting that battleground, that spiritual battleground that's being fought. The more familiar people become with the twisted morals of a secular society, the more we become familiar with all that, the more it becomes commonplace, the less worked up we get about it, the more acceptable, once completely unacceptable, behaviors become. Are you with me? Well, check out at me. Don't get mad at me. Just bear with me. What once were utterly rejected practices become commonplace in America. But the Word of God has not changed. It just has never changed. He still condemns those acts. He still condemns countless other things that we do that go directly against his word. We don't get to like overlook that just because our culture becomes crazy. And Paul knew that talking to Timothy. Paul knew that talking to the church in Corinth. Paul knew that because he struggled with churches doing just that. Churches gone wild. Christians not acting like Christians. Christians having this sense of religiousness but not righteousness. So he's speaking to you and he's speaking to me. And you may claim, well, I don't support lifestyles like that and activities like that. It doesn't really impact me. I just watch it. But then you ask yourself, are you really supporting it if you watch it? Whether you really do in your real life support it, are you kind of saying that, though, through your behavior that you do support it? When you let your kids or grandkids watch that type of ungodliness, are you saying it is okay?
I don't know. That's what I'm having to ask myself. You see, the values and the morals that you and I live by are not up to individual preference. And therein lies one of the problems, is I think that you and I think that they are, and I can decide for me and my kids, and you can decide for you and your kids, and yet God's already decided for all of us. It's absolutely already been determined what is righteous and what is unrighteous, what is okay with him and what is not okay. We don't live by individual preference, but according to his infinite truth. It warps our morals. It warps our minds. We get enough of this in us, and we just think this is the norm. It's okay. I really don't believe it. I'm really not going to follow it. It's really not going to affect me. So we do it anyway. And perhaps it doesn't affect you a lot. I don't think that the media or entertainment is necessarily a salvation issue. Please don't take this wrong. Our God is bigger than that. But it absolutely affects your effectiveness as a witness, I think. Because the more consecrated you are to him, the more committed you are to him, the more pure you're trying to be for him, the more on board with what he wants for you, the more effective you're going to be in ministry, the more effective you're going to be in your witness. I just think that's a natural thing. So although it's not a salvation issue, what you watched tonight or what you watched last night, it does affect our ability to be good witnesses and bold ambassadors for him. I believe that. I believe that. And so, therefore, thus it matters. The third thing is this. It wastes our time. Oh, my gosh. How many of you said, I'm just going to get on Facebook for a minute, just check through things. Next thing you know, it's an hour and a half later, and you've scrolled through the same nonsense like five times because then you see there's new stories. So then you go back and you need to get back there to see the new stories. And then, come on, I know you do that. How many of you get on the computer and say, I'm going to play a game of solitaire or something? Next thing you know, it's 2 hours later and you're still playing solitaire. I'm going to play a little video game, you know, and next thing you know, it's hours later and you're playing. It wastes a lot of time. I cannot tell you, and I would not want to confess to you, how many times I have tried to destroy the latest concoction that the Angry Birds have created as they chirp at me and I'm trying to shoot rocks at them or throw things at them or nuke them or whatever that is. It's saddening how much time I have wasted on that. I have zero to show for it other than I made it to certain levels or whatever that game is. I don't even know. But you have to see that. It's a complete waste. And some people might say, well, but God wants us to enjoy life, right? So what's wrong with that? Yeah, you're right. He does want us to enjoy life. Matter of fact, he sent his son to give us life, and not just life, but abundant life. But I don't think the abundant life he was talking about was Twitter and Facebook. I could be wrong. I don't think that's what he meant. I just don't think that's what he had in mind. And as much as God wants you and I to enjoy life, which I believe he does, he also wants us to enjoy eternity. And he created us for eternity. And when we spend our time watching and listening and surfing things that are worldly and counterproductive to God's purpose, it's a waste. It can't be anything else. It has to be a waste. And that's not to pick on you, it has to be. If it's counterproductive and it's not godly and it's not growing us in a relationship with him, and we're created to do that, then it has to be a waste. Christians are here for a much nobler purpose. We have a higher calling. I believe that anyway. God's word says that. God has us here to accomplish his purpose, his agenda. He's entrusted the kingdom work into our hands. That's pretty powerful to think that you and I have that he's given that to us. We should strive then, I think, to be good stewards of those opportunities. Paul says it this way in Ephesians chapter 5. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Ask yourself, is this the best use of my time? Is this making the most of this opportunity, what I'm about to engage in, what I'm about to do, what I'm about to partake in, participate in? Don't be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Just use that passage as a filter, and I'm going to give you several more that you can filter use as a filter as well, but use those types of things to tell you, is this what I ought to be doing? And the fourth thing is this. It cheapens our thoughts. It really does. I've never played Grand Theft Auto, but I looked into it a little bit, and I'm not picking on if you play Grand Theft Auto, but there's no way you can say that playing Grand Theft Auto doesn't cheapen your thoughts. I mean, the whole idea of it really is, it seems anyway to me, or watching Sister Wives or Honey Boo Boo, how does that not cheapen your thoughts? Housewives of L.A., I mean, seriously? Tell me how you're edified. Tell me how you're grown spiritually. Tell me how you're encouraged to live a godly life. And that's not to say all this stuff's evil. It's just to say it's a waste of time, and it cheapens our thoughts. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says it this way. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So how am I going to understand, how am I going to be able to test what his good and pleasing and perfect will is? Only by talking to him, only by prayer, only by fellowship of believers, only by being in the Word. It's not going to happen by tuning into the Long Island Medium. It's not going to happen by going to 50 Shades of Grey. There is nothing in that that's going to help you learn the Lord's will for your life. You're not going to hell if you saw it. I'm not going there. Don't take this as a salvation thing. I'm just saying, you're not going to be able to test and approve what the Lord's will is, which this passage says, in those areas. It's a waste of time. It cheapens our thoughts. It pollutes us. And among countless other scriptures concerning what we dwell on, what we think about, what our attitudes ought to be, Philippians 4:8 says it this way. And you could look at all the things that you read and watch and do and surf and all those sort of things and run it through this filter as well. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Does that define the things you read and watch? Does that define your entertainment? The magazines that you subscribe to? To allow other influences into our minds devalues and diminishes our thought life. God wants our minds on the sacred and not the secular. So much of what the world calls entertainment is not entertainment at all. It pollutes, it warps, it wastes, and it cheapens. But more than anything, because of the agenda and influence behind it, it's not entertainment, it's entrapment. I'm a hunter. I like to hunt. I like to fish. This is in context to that. It is a snare that the enemy would like every believer to walk into when it comes to entertainment. The thing about getting your prey to walk into a trap is to convince them that it's not a trap. They're not going to walk into it if they know it's a trap. I'm not saying you do it on purpose. I'm just asking you to pause, perhaps like I have this week, and go, you know what? I think I've walked into this trap. I don't think I can justify the hours I spend on this and on that and on that. I don't think it's building me up. I don't think it's a good witness. God has given us instructions to escape that trap and to make the choice for ourselves. Now, the choice isn't going to be easy, but we're able to walk in that love because Christ set that foundation for us, and we have that freedom through our relationship with him to be able to conquer this, to be bigger than this, to get over this hump, this entertainment, this media thing. As God's children, we've been given great freedom. I want to look at a few passages real quick on the freedom that you and I have. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Think about that when you're about to do something. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Look at the way, and this isn't on the slide, you can leave it right there. In the Living Bible translation, this particular passage says it this way. I can do anything I want to if Christ has not said no, but some of these things aren't good for me. Even if I'm allowed to do them, I'll refuse to if I think they might get such a grip on me that I can't easily stop them when I want to. That's what 1 Corinthians 6:12 says in the Living Bible. We have freedom to choose, but we want to choose what's right and what's productive. Just because you have freedom doesn't mean you abuse those freedoms. 1 Corinthians 10:23 says it this way. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Use these simple passages when you're about to do anything that you're about to do, participate in. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says it this way. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So if what you engage in your entertainment, your activities, your pleasure, your spare time, make sure it's for the glory of God. With freedom comes great responsibility. We have been given fun. We have been given entertainment by God. They are gifts from God. So is fishing and hunting and camping and all these other things, but they were never, ever, ever, ever meant to be idols. They were never meant to take the place of God. They were never meant to consume us and own us and take up all of our time and consume our thoughts and take our minds and our hearts and our souls off Christ, ever. We make that happen because we fall into that trap and entertainment becomes an idol. Could be the music you listen to. Could be a lot of things. So what do we do with this whole media thing? I just broke down the word media for you, really simple. We're going to wrap up with this. What do we do with this whole media thing? The first thing is this. We got to ask ourselves with anything we're doing, what is the message? This book, whatever this book is that we're picking up to read, whatever this magazine is, what is the message of this book? What is it trying to convey? You know, if I pick up a Playboy magazine, what's the message with a Playboy magazine? Oh, I know the articles are good, right? And you like to read the articles. What is the message of that? If I go to that movie or tune into that TV show, what is the message? Because I promise you, there's a message they're trying to convey to you. And ask yourself that before you participate in, what is the message here? Now, if you're okay with that, that's great. Then go ahead and jump on in and I guess and do that. But we need to put that under the microscope and see what's the message. The second thing is, what effect is this going to have on me? If I do this activity, what effect is it going to have on me? What's it going to do to me? Is it going to anger me? Is it going to change my mood? Is it going to depress me? Is it going to make me sin? Because anything that causes one to sin is not good. It's sin. So is this activity going to affect me in that way? The third thing is this. Will I suffer damage from this? Will I suffer damage from this? Back to what I said before. I honest to God, I have counseled people who their marriages were in trouble over video gaming. That Worlds of Warcraft thing on the internet, that computer game thing, you guys might be, I've never played it, but I know people seriously, 8 and 10 hours a day, lost jobs, lost families, because they just be getting this fantasy world on the computer playing this game, and it owns them. What damage might I suffer from this? What might this cause me? Will this cause me to relapse? Will this give me fantasies that I shouldn't have? Because movies do that. Will this cause me to have nightmares or not be able to sleep? Because there's people I've counseled with like that too. They can't watch those scary, crazy movies. Some people like that. But ask yourself that question. What will I suffer potentially damage-wise if I do this? Next question. What could I be doing instead? What could I be doing instead of this? There's probably a whole litany of things that you could list that would be more productive, more edifying, and certainly grow you closer to God than what you're about to engage in. And the fifth thing, simple, just ask God about it. God, is this book, is this movie, is this magazine, is this music, is this good for me? Is this going to help me draw closer? Is this going to affect my witness for you? You see, if we're to impact our neighborhood and our communities for Christ, we must not allow our minds to be conformed and controlled by the world's media. We must look different and act different because we are different. Doesn't mean we're not engaged in it at all, but it cannot consume us and own us and be such a huge part of our lives where we just put on blinders and we watch the same things everybody else watches. We listen to the same things everybody else listens to. And there's no difference. There's no righteousness between the religious and the irreligious. There's no more purity between those who claim to follow and those who don't. I remember when I first came to Christ, and I remember the changes that I made. And as I thought about it this week, I thought, you know, I think I've gotten pretty lazy. I think I've gotten pretty sloppy. I think I've went back to some things that I used to give up and I used to not do. I used to consider it really important to be set apart, to be different so that my witness could make an impact. We're going to close with a song that speaks kind of those words. It's a song called Redeemed, and the words that it says are this. It says, I am redeemed. I've been set free. I'm not who I used to be. And I'm pondering those lines. I am redeemed. I've been set free. I'm not who I used to be. I remember those lines 20 years ago. I am redeemed. I've been set free. I'm not who I used to be. And then I thought, where am I? Or am I going back to who I used to be? Pray with me. Father God, it's so easy for us to fall into this trap of entertainment. It happened throughout the Bible, happened throughout history, different forms of entertainment. But God, we live in a world that is just overwhelming with the information and the things that are put out there to entertain us and to occupy us, to amuse us. Father, it's easy for us to get on that video game or to play that computer game or to get on Facebook or Pinterest or watch TV all day long and watch movies. And Lord God, in the meantime, we neglect potentially our spiritual life with you. We neglect our witness to other people. Father, help us to find balance in that. Lord God, I'm not speaking today to crucify or condemn anyone for what they do with their entertainment. I just want them to ponder as I've pondered. What does my entertainment life look like? And has it become an idol? Has it become too much in my life, perhaps? And the answer for me is an absolute yes. I don't know where each one of the people here are, but Lord God, allow them to have the courage, if in fact it is a problem for them, to make the changes necessary, to set some boundaries, to check out what the message is, what effect it's going to have on me. Will it do damage? What could I be doing instead? And what would you think of this, God? What would you think? What would I think watching this if Jesus was sitting right next to me? Father, help us to make good decisions so that we might honor you. You deserve our very best. You deserve our minds and our hearts and our bodies consecrated and sacrificed to you. God, we love you. Help us to overcome this bully that is entertainment and media, this influence that can be so overwhelming. We trust you, God, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray.